Hello, this is David B. Wright, National Director of 40 Days for Life. I also am serving today as the moderator of this Ending Abortion webcast mega event. It is an absolute honor and privilege to be joining you on this final session of a 10-hour marathon webcast event. What a whirlwind of a day we have had. It has been absolutely amazing. A lot of people ahead of time were like, you're kidding. You're going to be on the phone for 10 straight hours piping out this webcast. That's insane. How are you going to be able to do it? I will tell you, I am more fired up. I am more energized now than I was when we got started at 10 o'clock this morning. I have heard so many amazing speakers. We have had so many great topics covered. I know we have had our co-hosts for this entire day have been Sean Carney on our 40 Days for Life team and Kristen Hawkins from Students for Life of America. They have been absolute troopers in going through this entire day. Kristen, let me ask you first, can you believe it? Here we are, the final session of the day. Can you believe we finally made it? And what has been the most amazing to you about how this has all come together?
Oh, I just, this has been such an amazing day. I am so excited to be a part of this event. And I know everyone listening in, and I even know the presenters were all blessed by being part of this. I've gotten so many ideas. I'm sitting here writing down notes as everyone's speaking. It's a tremendous event, and it's great to see the unity and how many resources that are out there today. That if you're a pro-lifer and if you want to take action, and hopefully this conference has compelled you to take action, you know exactly what you need to do and where you need to go for those resources.
That's right. And Sean Carney, you're still in Texas getting ready to move up here to Virginia, just outside of D.C., to work full-time with 40 Days for Life here. But you still are in Texas. And a good Texas friend of mine once said, if that don't light your fire, then your wood is wet. And we've had an amazing day of activity here. What have been, in your mind, what has been most amazing about seeing this all come to fruition?
Yeah, the wood has definitely not been wet today. The fire is lit. And like you, I'm energized. I pictured myself just kind of collapsing for the last call, but that's not the case at all. Every panel that we've had all day today since 9 a.m. Central Time has just built upon itself. We have gone into every single corner of the pro-life movement, and a lot of new people are on the webcast. And some people have stuck with us, you know, throughout the day, and I know tons more will listen to the recordings, but like Kristen said, it's the unity and it's mobilizing and motivating all of these people who are looking for something to do in their communities. And I'm very excited about the next panel. I think it's going to be great. And I guess we could keep going, but we're out of panelists.
That's right. Well, and there's no pressure on these final panelists. I mean, literally, the bar has been set so high through all these previous sessions. If anybody is listening right now, whether to the live webcast event or you're listening to this recording after the fact, if you have not listened to the 9 previous sessions, I don't care what part of the pro-life movement you're involved in or feel called to, you've got to go through it all. There has been so much wisdom. There have been all these gold nuggets and great ideas and information. I know I'm going to be going back. I've heard every word that's been said today. I'm going to go back and listen to all the recordings and take notes and really glean everything I can from all of this. Literally, we've had the who's who of the pro-life movement, 35 of the top experts and leaders sharing, 30 different organizations uniting together all around one simple focus: ending abortion, and specifically educating, equipping, and empowering you to save lives where you live. Not sitting back and waiting for somebody else to do the job, whether it's a politician or a judge or some lobbying group. It's not sitting back. It's empowering you and me that we can take our faith, we can put it into action, we can speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And this event has been amazing. Literally, the first promotion for this event went out just a few days ago, and here we are today with over 10,000 people a part of this event. It's kind of like walking into a big arena where there's a big wrestling match going on and there's thousands of people in there, except instead of coming out to watch people beat each other up, they're coming to learn about how we can drive abortion out of America for once and for all. That is what we're a part of today on this Ending Abortion event. With two co-hosts, Sean and Kristen, how about Sean, I'll ask you to lead us in an opening prayer, and in a minute, Kristen, I'm going to ask you to emphasize why this topic of influencing the culture is so critically important as we dive into this energetic last session of this Ending Abortion webcast. Sean, would you lead us in an opening prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of today. Help us use every single day to work to speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. We pray for our nation. We pray for our culture, which is starving for truth, starving for mercy, and starving for your son. We are a confused people in America today and throughout the world. Guide us. bring us back to protect the most innocent among us, the most vulnerable among us. And as lives are saved, as women are healed from their abortions, as workers have conversions and leave the abortion industry, help us always give glory to you, because you are the author of life, and it is you who we serve in this movement. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have gone through an awful lot of great information today, from the Case for Life first thing this morning to the abortion crisis, Planned Parenthood's abortion empire, the power of prayer, pregnancy care centers, saving lives outside abortion facilities, hope and healing for post-abortive women and men, legislative and political efforts. We just finished up the panel on pro-life youth advocacy. Ultimately, when we think about ending abortion, yes, we got to pass good laws. Yes, we have to intervene and help those who are at risk of abortion. Yes, we need to bring healing. But ultimately, we need to change hearts and change minds. We have to influence the culture around us. And it's not just big national leaders. It's not just politicians. It's not just media people. Every one of us has an opportunity to positively influence the culture around us. This is critical to bringing an end to abortion and saving lives right where you live. And that's why we've seen so many groups unite together across the pro-life movement for this event, so that you can be empowered to influence the people around you. We have had the most unbelievable day of fundamental pro-life 101 training on every aspect of this movement from the top leaders in this movement. All of these leaders have come on free of charge. All of them have taken time out of their Saturday to come on. Some have been calling in from airports and from out on the road where they're actually doing their pro-life work to give this freely to you. And my request is that you, in turn, to whom much is given, much is expected, you freely give this to others. If you benefit from any of this, please be sure to share this information by telling all your friends and family members and other pro-lifers to go to endingabortion.com, where they will have access from now on to all these requests. Recordings absolutely free of charge, and make sure that every pro-life American has the opportunity, just like you and I, to benefit from all of this great information. So with that, I had Sean do the opening prayer, and Kristen, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to talk about why it's vital to influence our culture. And then you'll be hearing from our presenters. Now, I'm going to tell you that one of our presenters, unfortunately, was not able to make it onto the call. We're going to cut him a little slack because of his reason, and that is Eduardo Verástegui. Eduardo is actually on location in Mexico filming a film, so I guess we'll cut him a little slack because he's making another wonderful masterpiece that can help to change many lives all around the world. We'll hear a little bit more about that from one of his friends and associates here in just a moment. But the three presenters we have on, if you want to have some high energy to wrap up an ending abortion mega webcast conference, these are the three people to have on. We've got the opportunity to hear from Jason Jones, and Jason is with Bella Hero Project. He'll also talk a little bit about his work on whole life ministry. Then we're going to hear from Jill Stanek. Jill is a nurse who had a profound experience that propelled her into the pro-life movement, and today she uses the platform of being a prolific pro-life blogger, uses technology to literally influence thousands upon thousands of people. And then Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King and the daughter of slain civil rights activist A.D. King, who's going to be talking about how we can use the aspect of influencing the culture to mobilize the African American and minority communities. It's going to be great information, great presenters. So Kristen, how about share with us just briefly, why is it important that we influence the culture?
Well, David, thanks for throwing me that softball. You know, influencing the culture, that's fundamental what we're trying to do in the pro-life movement. We have to change the culture before we can change the laws. Laws and culture, they go back and forth between each other. You know, in 1973, when Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton was handed down, instantly abortion became legal. And what's interesting, you know, today when I'm on the college campus, a lot of people think, you know, abortion is okay because it's legal. But then now we're seeing this turning of the tide of all these pro-life movies, secular movies that have pro-life messages, new technology being utilized by pro-lifers and Christians, outreach into specific communities for pro-life. And you're slowly starting to see this culture shift. And I think, you know, there's a great proof of this. If you look at any of the recent polls, the Gallup poll this year, for the first time since it started polling on pro-life, America is now a pro-life nation. Our culture is shifting. we're starting to understand the sanctity of human life, and we've got to keep propelling that forward. So I think this is a great session to end our mega event today on, because this is fundamental what we're doing. We've got to change the culture before we can change the laws, and we're well on our way to doing that.
Absolutely. And the point of this session is not to say that the three speakers are the only way you can positively influence the culture. It's for you to learn from them, to be inspired by them, to recognize that each of us has a sphere of influence. Each of us has friends. Each of us have ways, gifts, and talents that God has given us through which we can positively influence the culture. And I hope you will be inspired to look inside yourself and say, what can I do to make a tremendous difference? Now, certainly the topic of influencing the culture is much broader than we can cover in a one-hour panel here. So we will be covering the basics, the fundamentals, the kind of pro-life 101 level of this topic. But each of the speakers will share with you how you can learn more about how you can positively influence the culture, and then we'll wrap up with a few send-off points. And the other thing is, we've gotten a gazillion questions that came in. Literally, we were quite surprised to see the thousands upon thousands that registered for this event in just a few short days. And as a result, a lot of those people submitted questions on every single one of the panel topics. We had more questions on influencing the culture than we'll be able to answer during the live session. So what we did is we went through and picked out the most frequently asked themes and made sure that the questions that are being asked of our presenters and the closing comments will help to address those. And so with that, let's go ahead and dive into our very first presenter. This is one of the first guys that I met on the national scene in the pro-life movement. And I was just like, if this is what pro-life is all about, count me in. He's one of the most fun people, one of the most tireless, energetic people. Every time I talk to him, he's living in a different place, doing different things, all over the map, doing amazing stuff. And that is Mr. Jason Jones. Jason is probably most known in the pro-life movement by a lot of people as being one of the producers for the award-winning film Bella that starred Eduardo, who was not able to be with us today. Jason is also the founder of HERO, which is the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization, and that is also a campaign, an organization focused on whole life, which Jason, I hope you'll go into in just a minute. And then Jason is also the founder of the Bella HERO Project. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, David. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're excited to have you here. And you live right in the heart of the entertainment industry now. You live out in Los Angeles. You live right near Hollywood. You're engaged in the film business and a lot of your work. Let's talk Hollywood for just a minute. If we're going to influence the culture, Hollywood has a profound influence, not only here in the States, but I was just in Italy about a month ago, and I was amazed to see how much impact that Hollywood has on the entire world. So when we look at Hollywood as it stands today, does it have a pro-abortion bias?
You know, I used to think Hollywood had a pro-abortion bias. In fact, about 10 years ago, I started doing research on abortion in film and in popular music. And you can look at a lot of films and say, yes, it's true, Hollywood often seems to be the propaganda arm of the culture of death. But when it comes to the topic of abortion, I think what we found is that artists, when they create, when they're writing a song or writing a screenplay, they draw from their own personal experience. So I would say it's exactly the opposite, that now we see in Hollywood a real bias against abortion, a recognition that abortion is a devastating experience in the life of a woman. And, you know, if you look in just the past few years, we've had Bella, Juno, Waitress, Knocked Up, Horton Hears a Who, Legion, and I wouldn't recommend these films necessarily for anyone or their children. Like, Legion is a movie that just recently came out. It was a Hollywood, you know, a big Hollywood film, and God orders the angels in heaven to destroy the world, but Saint Michael can't do it because he witnesses a young woman leave an abortion clinic to keep her baby, and a young man who lives in her trailer park wants to raise that child even though it's not his. And it's just shocking. Or a film like Waitress that was written by a woman from her own experience. She was pro-abortion and pregnant out of wedlock by a man she didn't feel she loved, and she didn't want to keep the baby. But she couldn't have an abortion. So she felt guilty about being a feminist who couldn't have an abortion. And she felt guilty about carrying a baby she didn't think she loved. She wrote this beautiful screenplay to try to work out these feelings, and it's a celebration of motherhood and life. And so it's exciting to see, and as Kristen said, I think as Hollywood is beginning to shift, we're beginning to see the opinion in the United States shift, and around the world. Right now, Bella's in theaters all across Italy.
Well, Jason, you worked very closely with Eduardo on Bella, and I was just amazed at the tireless energy that you guys had going around the country and getting people excited about this, and then ultimately the impact that movie has had. Can you just use that as a case study to just talk about how just that one film, the kind of influence that has had on our culture from what you've seen?
Yeah, well, yeah, David, and I would say that the folks that are listening, and if they're listening, they've been on for 10 hours, we get the cream of the crop. We get people who are so pro-life that 10 hours later they're still here. And, you know, if you're listening, I know you brought your friends to the theater, or you sponsored a showtime or a screening. We had some people sponsor a market. One guy so loved the film, he invited his entire town to the film, and he was off willing to pay for everyone's ticket. And they were busing public schools to the theaters in Manhattan, and businesses were paying for the buses and for the tickets. And it was really the grassroots effort that made Bella a success. And what was the impact? Well, we won the Toronto Film Festival. We were number one with New York Times readers. We won the Heartland Award. We won all these awards. We were recognized at the White House and at the Vatican. But I would say that the biggest success for us was our goal was that we would know of one woman who chose life because of Bella. But just from the theatrical release alone, we had confirmed 86 women who were scheduled to have abortions saw Bella and chose life.
Mm. And for every one of those, I'm sure there are many more.
Yeah, and then we would pray every day, Lord, we just pray that young women who are thinking about an abortion or are pregnant and don't know it but would think about abortion, that you lead them to buy a Bella ticket. And once we went into DVD, we realized we'll continue to pray, but we can put it in the hands of the women. And that's where we came up with the Bella Hero Project, where my nonprofit donates the Bella DVDs to pregnancy centers to give to abortion-minded women who come to the clinic. Mm. So from that program, as of last week, we've confirmed 144 women who chose life.
And that's on top of the ones from the theatrical release, just the Bella Hero Project alone.
It is. You know, and how does it impact people? Well, you know, Bill O'Reilly gave us the Patriot. You know, he does the Patriot and Pinhead. Well, at the end of one of his shows, when we were in theaters, he gave us the Patriot Award. And the same day on her television show, Rosie O'Donnell came out and said, everyone in America's got to go see Bella. I love this movie, Bella. Rosie O'Donnell.
Wow.
And, you know, Beethoven said, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. And art has an ability to communicate our message. We have the easiest thing in the world to sell, which is the intrinsic dignity, beauty, and incomparable worth of the human person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the greatest mission on earth. And shouldn't be that hard to convince people of that truth. And right. Through art, it's a very effective way to communicate human dignity.
Absolutely.
And Hollywood, with film, you have music and you have light and you have color and you have all of these things working together to communicate. And Paul Weyrich, 10 years ago, wrote an open letter to the conservative movement and said, you know, we should just pack it in. We've lost. We've achieved all these goals politically, but we failed to engage the culture. And he's right. If we're not going to engage the culture, we should pack it in. Winning Hollywood back and back, because it was ours 40 years ago, winning Hollywood back is a necessary condition for winning the culture war.
Mm. And Jason, I think it's important for everybody to understand when you use the example of the Bella Hero, the DVDs going into these pregnancy centers, or the examples of somebody renting out a theater or showing it to lots of people, it's not just the big movie star in Hollywood that can have an influence using art and entertainment to promote a culture of life. It's literally every person. It's putting on a DVD with some friends. It's giving the DVD or encouraging somebody to watch it. It's sharing good messages with other people. And so everybody can make a difference. But the other thing, and this is something I wasn't originally planning to ask you, but since Eduardo's not here, I guess that means we can talk about him behind his back. But Eduardo, here he is, the big movie star, and yet I've seen him working in the pro-life movement very much behind the scenes, not looking for any attention, any glamour whatsoever, and he's doing the ordinary things that we're encouraging everybody else on this call, this webcast, to do as well. Can you maybe just share a little bit of what you've seen in terms of Eduardo out on the streets and his involvement in the pro-life movement beyond what we see on the screen?
Yeah, Eduardo's my hero. I'll give you 40 days for life, you know, and I think, you know, this, I was in the first 40 days for life with you, and I remember meeting you, and I'm like, this is the guy. And I think I told you when I first met you, I go, you're the guy. You're the guy. You need to do what you do around the world. And I was so excited, and then I went to the second 40 Days for Life in Green Bay. Well, I think this is the third or fourth 40 Days for Life year, and I called Eduardo, and we'd had two saves in Green Bay, and I was feeling quite happy with myself. And Eduardo calls me, and he's like, Frater, Frater. Oh, Frater, you're not going to believe it. 12 women, Frater. We're in front of an abortion clinic in L.A. 12 women chose life today. And in fact, Eduardo, every Saturday morning, has been consistently standing in front of an abortion clinic for years now, and that abortion clinic has stopped performing abortions on weekends.
Wow.
As of two months ago. And, you know, it's hard for me to get Eduardo often to focus on some movie stuff. And if a pro-life opportunity is ever presented, he always takes it. Mm-hmm. You never have to ask twice. And if there's a conflict between something that has to do with film or promoting human dignity directly in the pro-life movement, he'll always lean towards doing the pro-life thing. And he always says yes if he can. And, for example, I asked him to come with me to Sudan, to Darfur, in the middle of the war last March when everyone was left the country. I said, well, I'm going to go in there. Will you come with me? He said, yes. On this year for St. Valentine's Day, I said, Eduardo, and he doesn't like us talking about this, but you're right. No one who's listening, don't tell him.
That's right.
You know, I said on St. Valentine's Day, I said, Frater, you know, the first Valentine's Day card was sent from a priest from his cell where he was being executed because he was marrying military officers against the emperor's orders. And so the first Valentine, and he signed this letter. It was basically a homily on marriage. He signed it, Your Valentine. I said, that was the first Valentine. I said, that was from Death Row. I said, we need to go visit Death Row inmates and share with them God's love for them on St. Valentine's Day. Let's bring you to meet the women on Death Row and speak in prison. He said, okay, he did it. This year on his birthday, he celebrates his birthday. He celebrated his birthday this year in Haiti at an orphanage. And every year on his birthday, he goes somewhere and he does something, whether it's building homes for the poor in Mexico or going to an orphanage in Haiti. And, you know, for me, David, 10 years ago, as a pro-life activist in Hawaii, I said a prayer. And I was an atheist, you know, for my first 15 years in the pro-life movement. And I was an atheist 10 years ago. But I said a prayer just out of desperation because I felt my work wasn't going anywhere. I said, God, if you exist, I can't end abortion on my own, because when I was 18, I made a 40-year plan to end abortion, as silly as that may sound. And, you know, 8-10 years into it, I just felt helpless. And I said a prayer, God, if you exist, I can't end abortion. I need rich people, famous people, and powerful people. Rise them up. And when I look at Eduardo and the courage and the grace that he has, I realize that he's the answer to a lot of our prayers, mm-hmm. that God would raise somebody up in Hollywood that could communicate to people in a way that we couldn't, and would have, you know, a stage that we don't have. And that's Eduardo, and he's fearless.
Yeah.
And I've seen him turn down tens of millions of dollars in job offers since I've known him, because the films, they're not evil. People know not to offer him bad films, but he'll always say, there's a little here in the soup. And he says, people are drinking so much soup that seems good with just a little here that they have hairballs in their throat. And he's like, I don't want to contribute to that.
Wow. So, you know, I think it is profound. And I hope everybody listening really understands the profound importance of what you've just communicated, Jason, because Eduardo, a big movie star, is humbling himself to do the fundamental things to change the culture by going out to an abortion facility. I remember during the 40 Days for Life when the local 40 Days leaders in L.A. Contacted us and said, Eduardo's out here. And all the abortion facility staff, all the women were coming out to get their picture taken with Eduardo. And his condition was, I'm going to give you a prayer and I'm going to give you some information. You have to promise me you'll go through that before I come back next Saturday. And if you do, then I'll take my picture with you. And I thought, here is a guy who is positively influencing a culture, yes, on the silver screen, which is something most of us probably will not do in our lifetime, but also every single week, every day, doing what he can to change the culture. Jason, let me ask you one final question before we move on to our next presenter. And I know we've gone a little off track here, but art, culture, life, beauty, what can we do, each of us individually? How can we influence the culture through art and through entertainment from right where we live?
Well, you know, for most of us, we're never going to be able to be an actor, writer, director, or invest in a film. So we have to be good consumers. We cannot give money. You know, we wouldn't want to go and give money to Planned Parenthood. Even if Planned Parenthood had a good service, we wouldn't go there for that service because we wouldn't want to give them that money. When companies produce films that attack the faith, attack the dignity of the human person, we have to be wise consumers and not give them our money, regardless of how entertaining it is. A film like Avatar is a tremendous attack on the dignity of the human person. And it's a spectacle, and it's beautiful, and sometimes it's hard to resist, but we have to know that when we give money, when we reward those types of films, we're promoting a culture of death. We're helping to promote a culture of death. So be good consumers. The other thing is, you know, when you, there are pro-life films out there, films that promote human dignity, support them.
Yep.
Support them. Not if they're garbage, you know, or, you know, if we don't want, we can't support every project that comes down the pipe, but if they're beautiful and worthy of support, we need to support them. And the other thing is, the Bella Hero Project, if you go to our website, can I do a little self-promotion?
No, please do.
We have 280 pregnancy centers that have Bella DVDs. We want every pregnancy center in America to have them, a steady supply of them. So you can go to bellahero.com to see how you can do that. Or you can go to movietomovement.com. And we're actually doing a short right now. There's a young director who won the Cannes Film Festival. And he's extremely talented, and he has a script. And here he is, a young, talented director, could do anything he wants in Hollywood. He comes to us with a script, says, I want to do what you guys are doing. Help me. So right now we're helping produce the script through Movie to Movement, but we are looking for investors, people who want to help support that. And if you sent me an email at jason@iamwholelife.com, we can talk back and forth. And if you are in a position to support films, to invest in films, take a look at it, because oftentimes, I think as Christians, as pro-lifers, we've had a welfare mentality. We want to demand that Hollywood give us content that we want. But if we want that kind of content, we're going to be the ones that have to create it. We're going to be the ones that have to take that risk. And I do believe with Paul Weyrich that if we don't take back the culture, if we don't take back Hollywood, we can't win. Mm. We might slow the advance, but winning Hollywood is a necessary condition for changing our culture.
Amen.
And not just here in the United States, but Hollywood is changing the culture around the world, and often not for the good.
Yep.
So as Christians who have access, for me, you know, David, I was a pro-life activist who met the three amigos, Eduardo, Alejandro, and Leo, and they needed funding for Bella, and I said, I'm here to help and any way I can. And they needed help with grassroots. I didn't know anything about film, but I just said, I'm here to help. And then I called everyone I knew, and I said, let's help. And the pro-life movement really came together. If it was not for the pro-life movement, Bella would have never had a theatrical release.
Mm.
Everyone we asked, everyone helped. They did all they could. And so we're forever grateful. And so on their other projects, I know there's a company called Spirit Juice. They have a new thriller that's supposed to come out around Halloween, but it's very pro-life. And I wish I knew the website, but if you Googled Spirit Juice, you could see it. So there are a lot of other companies out there that have been inspired by Metanoia Films, and they're doing their own thing. And so when their projects come, support them.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks for letting people know about the additional resource of the Bella Hero Project and how they can get DVDs for their local pregnancy centers, and any other website you would point people to where they can learn more about you and your work, and specifically with your I Am Whole Life project.
Yeah, we have a pledge. You know, I got involved in the pro-life movement when I was 17, and my high school girlfriend got pregnant, and I dropped out of high school and joined the Army and was going to be a dad. But while I was away in basic training, her father forced her to have an abortion. Didn't know that abortion was legal. I found out from her crying. And I promised her that I'd end abortion for her. And I know that's a naive promise now, but I always, whenever I'm tired, I don't want to travel, I don't want to do something, I remember my promise. We have a pledge, and it begins with I promise. And if you go to www.iamwholelife.com, you can sign our pledge, and this website has all sorts of resources. It has a $5,000 scholarship for students. It's pretty expansive website, iamwholelife.com. But for me, I want as many people to sign the pledge as possible. We have people in communist China who've signed it. We have people in over 50 countries in all 50 states. And whenever I feel tired and alone or frustrated, I just go to that little map, and I see all the people, and I think that's just a little small representation of everyone who wakes up every morning with the idea in their mind that in our lifetime, and this is why I love the name of this conference, Ending Abortion. In our lifetime, we need to end abortion.
Amen.
We need to, when our generation leaves and we leave this planet, we have to make sure that the human person is protected under law from the biological beginning through natural death. That's our mission as a generation.
Amen. Well, Jason, you are doing a lot to advance that mission. I appreciate it. And thanks for all you're doing to influence the culture in your battles there in Hollywood and all across the country. Thanks so much for being a part of this webcast. And let me shift now to our next presenter, who is a hero to many people, and that is to Dr. Alveda King. Alveda King is the daughter of slain civil rights activist A.D. King. She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She's a pastoral associate for Priests for Life. She is a wonderful friend and a courageous woman. Alveda, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right.
I'm here.
Glad you're here. This is the final panel of the Ending Abortion Mega Webcast event. How about giving us a quick start by telling us, how did you get here into the pro-life movement specifically?
Well, I've been in the pro-life movement since 1983. My grandfather, Martin Luther King Sr., rescued me from abortion in 1950. My mom had been invited by the Abortion League, which later became Planned Parenthood. She had conceived me, and she was just starting college. And so my dad, Reverend A.D. King, and my grandfather said no. And my granddaddy said he had seen me in a dream 3 years before, a little bright-skinned baby girl, no ultrasound. So that's when you hear me say I have a dream, it's in my genes. So we fast-forward. I had secret abortion experiences, hid it from my family, thought I hid it from God. In 1983, I was born again. And from that time on, I began to ask the question. You know, I say a woman has the right to choose what she does with her body. But where is the lawyer for the baby? How can the dream survive if we murder our children? So I started doing that in 83. I met Father Frank Pavone over at Priest for Life at about 1998 or 9. And early in the first part of this century, I became director of African-American outreach for Priest for Life.
Mm. That's amazing. And Alveda, you come from the most prominent family of civil rights leaders in American history, and you've got a very unique vantage point. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, what do you see as the relationship between the civil rights movement of the 20th century and the pro-life movement of today?
Well, you know, when as a matter of fact, for example, during the summer of 2010, there was some very important events organized. One of those being the pro-life freedom rides, and pro-life freedom rides just mirroring or adding to the freedom rides of the 1960s, 1961, where people took to the buses to test the new laws that said that all people were human beings, no matter what your skin color, and you could eat at a restaurant or ride on a bus and have a seat. And so dealing with the humanity of people in the 1960s, we're saying that in the 20th century, that was a major issue. In the 21st century, humanity is being challenged by the babies in the womb. So that event has been organized, and it's an ongoing, it should be going on and on, pro-life freedom ride. Other events, anytime I'm invited to an event, say like an event called Jubilee Fest, for example, I talk about the connection between the sanctity of life of all people. Every person is a person, no matter how small, to quote Horton and Zahoon, or no matter what your skin color is, remembering Dred Scott, and those kinds of things. So it's very important. And even in the 10 Steps to End Abortion Project, and that's a Priest for Life campaign as well, remembering as an African-American woman that my people are more impacted by abortion. When I say my people, we're all human beings, but that doesn't mean I'm excluding anyone, but African-Americans being targeted. And so I tend to join in projects like that, My Alpha 21, the film by Mark Crutcher over at Life Dynamics. And so I uniquely remember being a part of the civil rights movement with my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., with my father, A.D. King, with my grandfather, Martin Luther King Sr., very pro-life family. And using the House of King, the community of King, the name of King to uphold the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ. That's why I'm so glad to unite with 40 Days for Life, because since the very beginning of 40 Days for Life, I began to see hearts change. Like Jason just said, with media, I began to see media change. I began to see people in every area being able to boldly step forth and proclaim truth. I did want to say it's a little bit off subject, but Satan has been called the prince of the power of the air. That's in the Bible. But Jesus is Lord. And one way to do that is to do what we're doing today on this simulcast telephone call, where we are all able to join thousands of people together in prayer. And we can go into the media realms with positive films, like Eduardo says, don't put a little hair in the soup, so to speak. I love that when I heard that. So when we take back the airwaves through the internet, YouTube and Facebook, some Christians would say, oh my God, that's of the devil, don't do it. I say, we use everything that we have in the power of prayer. So our Father God, David is so right with that. And if we're praying and taking back the airwaves and talking and communicating to people, if we are reminding people that we are the human race, this is a human cause, a human race in need of a divine Savior, and we are all entitled to life. And so that's how I got into the pro-life movement. And that's how the message of my Uncle Martin Luther King Jr., he said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Amen.
He said, the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. Hmm. And even that Planned Parenthood Award that he's credited with receiving in 1966, my uncle did not attend the ceremony. My uncle did not write the speech. His wife went, read a speech that somebody else wrote, and tried to appropriate her husband's name and image for something she believed in. Mm. So my uncle, for the record, was pro-life. My grandfather, definitely. My daddy, my mother is today. She speaks with us across America when she feels like it. So that's how I got involved. I know I said a whole lot trying to explain it.
Well, no, you've set the stage well, because what you're talking about is how we need to influence the culture. And you have been such a gift to the pro-life movement, because you are positively influencing the culture from the platform that God has given you and from your family background. And, you know, Eduardo uses the platform of being a movie star. Jason uses the platform of going in to change Hollywood. Jill Stanek, we're going to hear from in just a couple of minutes, she uses the platform technology in her own personal story. Each one of us, we have to look at what opportunities God has given us and then reach out, influence the culture the best way we can. And Alveda, just as a final quick question here with about 2 minutes to go on this before we go to Jill, what do you see as the best ways to influence the culture, particularly in the African-American community, to educate them on the genocide that is happening and to engage them actively in the pro-life movement?
Our most powerful tools are having a media advantage of blogs and being on the internet and YouTube. I admire Father Frank Pavone for insisting that we film YouTube clips and get them online, websites, taking films like Martha 21 across the nation as part of an education campaign, and just pro-life freedom rides, things like that, Jubilee Fest music. It's very important to use music and film. There's a film that's not mentioned much, Tilly. I like to use Tilly a few times, too, because it's a little short film that works. Bella, having people sit down and look at things like that. And African-Americans respond, like everybody else, to positive images, positive messages. People like to Twitter. People like to do blogs. So I take that message with the African-American emphasis, but not limited to that, because it's the human family that we are fighting for the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I say that in this war, we occupy till Jesus comes. And in the occupation, we use everything that is there, and even just kick the prince of the power of the air aside and take over the airwaves, too.
Amen to that. Well, Alveda, how can people learn more about you and your work? And are there any resources you would point them towards that can help them to learn more about how to influence the culture?
I'd like to give to priestforlife.org, and you can hear about healing from Rachel Vineyard, Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Do priestforlife.org/African American, and you'll come right to my webpage. ProLifeFreedomRides.com will be going on for many, many, many days, not limited to the initial kickoff summer campaign. And so find us on the internet. And 40 Days of Life, we're praying with you. I meet you across the country all the time and meet valiant prayer warriors. I'm so honored and blessed to be a part of that. And I just want to say God bless you to everyone.
Amen. Well, Alveda, thank you so much. I appreciate you being a part of this webcast event today and for all you are doing to positively influence our culture. Well, that brings us to our final speaker on this panel, and that is Jill Stanek. Jill is an absolute warrior. She is one of the most just joy-filled but yet absolutely strong women that I know. She is a nurse. She is a pro-life blogger. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself. But Jill, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, David, but the question is, how are you? How's your ear?
You know, I actually have headphones on because I couldn't hold the phone up against my head that long, but I have to tell you, I didn't expect that my ears would be so sore from wearing headphones all day, but no, I am so encouraged with the kind of great information we've just heard on this panel and all the rest of the day. It has been so incredibly encouraging. If people can't go back out into their communities and do something to save a life, to change a heart or a mind, then boy, something has gone wrong, because this has been an absolute whirlwind, an amazing day. And I thank you for being an instrumental part of that. Jill, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of your background and how you got involved in the pro-life movement, because you have a very unique story.
I was a registered nurse at Christ Hospital on the southwest side of Chicago in 1999. When I found out that the hospital was not only involved in late-term abortions, but the method of abortion that the hospital used, now called induced labor abortion, sometimes resulted in babies being aborted alive. And if they were aborted alive, they were relegated to the department, so the utility room to die. And this came home to me one night when a nursing coworker was taking a little baby who'd been aborted and survived, who had Down syndrome, to the soiled utility room to die because his parents didn't want to hold him and she didn't have time to hold him. And when she told me what she was doing, I couldn't bear the thought of this suffering child dying alone. And so I rocked him for the 45 minutes that he lived. He wasn't viable. His lungs weren't mature enough to have survived, even if he'd been resuscitated. But those 45 minutes changed my life. I was an ambivalent pro-lifer before, and after that, I was just completely consumed with trying to stop abortion.
Mm. And you have used the platform of not only your personal story, which I know that you share at pregnancy center banquets and Right to Life events all around the country, and you've been on the national media. I've watched that video clip of you on O'Reilly, and you did an amazing job of relating what you'd experienced. But also, you have done something that is absolutely amazing. You have utilized technology in a way to educate people, in a way to influence the culture, utilizing tools that you can access wherever you got a laptop. And I was wondering if you could maybe talk a little bit about particularly your expertise of blogging and social media and why you think these tools can positively influence our culture for the sanctity of human life.
I became in blogging, interested in blogging in 2005 when I read Hugh Hewitt's book, Blog. And in this book, Hewitt described how bloggers, as part of what is called the new media, had changed journalism. And he gave several examples, such as that it was bloggers who created Rathergate in 2004 by exposing Dan Rather of 60 Minutes for posting fraudulent memos claiming President Bush was derelict in his duties while in the National Guard. And he also explained that it could be said that bloggers brought down John Kerry in the 2004 presidential campaign by giving life support to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, because the mainstream media was ignoring what they were saying and then began denouncing them. But military bloggers corroborated what they said and kept the story alive. And so I thought that this would, the pro-life issue would be a perfect fit for blogging. Because we all know liberals in the mainstream media habitually get stories wrong related to the pro-life issue, either out of ignorance or because of their ideology, or they ignore important stories that would make the other side look bad. And I thought here was a way around it. And so I started my blog in 2005, and I got immediate affirmation. In January 2006, my local newspaper was refusing to run an ad. Right to Life of Will County wanted to sponsor that had an ultrasound photo, David, an ultrasound photo of a preborn baby that the newspaper said was too graphic. And so it was refusing to post our ad. It was actually a National Right to Life inspired ad. And so that would have been the end of it had it not been for blogging. Our hands would have been tied. And how many countless times have pro-lifers and the pro-life cause been unfairly treated by the mainstream media or liberals, and then we had no control? But I blogged about what had happened to us, and more than that, I was able to post the actual ad itself, which gave visual validation. But I never expected what would follow. And what happened, David, was within 2 days, our story and our ad was being broadcast on Fox Cable News. So whereas we thought maybe hundreds or thousands of people would see our ad, millions of people saw our ad, and then the newspaper backed down and let us run the ad because of all the adverse publicity it got.
That's just one example of what technology can do. It can open up the opportunity to empower people to have an influence. That's amazing.
Right, that's one example of how we can break through and go around the traditional media to get the truth out about abortion and so many other topics related to the pro-life issue.
Well, talk about social media. Is there an example that you have there of how you can use social media to influence the culture?
Well, this spring, somebody on Twitter named Anti-Theistic Angie decided that she was going to live tweet her RU46 medical abortion. And so I picked up on that story and covered it, and that story ended up making national headlines. But I was able to, where she tried to put a positive spin on it, I was able to show by what she wrote that RU46 abortions are very painful. Her experience lasted for over two weeks, and she used a whole bottle of 20 Tylenol with codeine to get through her pain, experienced cramping and bleeding. And so I was able to learn from her experience and also show that abortion isn't the picnic that she had first tried to say that it was. And that was social media.
And I remember actually the day that was happening, you and I were sitting next to each other at a pro-life meeting, and you were the whole day showing me little things, and you were actively engaged online with that. And I was just amazed at how much you could accomplish just right there at the moment things were happening due to social media. Jill, for somebody who maybe hasn't yet read Hugh Hewitt's book or hasn't ever really been involved in blogging before, what would be some real quick tips you would have for somebody interested in doing pro-life blogging?
I have 10 quick tips, David, and I will post these on my blog afterwards so people don't need to write them down. First of all, you can set up your own blog for free or you can pay somebody, but make sure that your blog is as intelligent, excellent professional as can possibly be done, because we're not only representing ourselves, we're representing the pro-life movement when we blog. And then you can, the next piece of advice would be to find a niche. Find a component of the pro-life movement that particularly interests you, and then develop that. Become an expert, the go-to person on that topic. And there are hundreds of possibilities on the macro level, like abortion or euthanasia or embryonic stem cell research, to the micro level, like first trimester abortions or the post-abortion topic, or a particular political figure or a particular news organization or Hollywood, as Jason was talking about earlier, or a pro-abortion organization like Planned Parenthood, or even the Church of Scientology, which has been exposed repeatedly of being involved in coerced abortions, or a geographical location in your state. You know, the list is endless, but find a niche, and I think you'll be better off. Number three, think of your blog as a ministry or a mission, not your personal ego builder. Try not to be territorial, but generous. Link as often as possible to other pro-life blogs and news sources, and give credit where it's due. Number four, blog strategically. There is an overwhelming amount of information out there, and sometimes I look at my internet news like a deer looking in the headlights. I blog perhaps 5% of what I could blog, and so I have to decide what topics will help us the most and damage the other side the most. I often write posts posts that I think are going to demoralize the other side, because I also cross-post on Twitter and Facebook, and I make sure that they read what I'm writing by using hashtags that they use, and people who are on Twitter will know what I'm talking about. And I also pray before I begin blogging. I try to pray every morning that the Lord will send what he wants me to blog on my way. And there's so many times that he has made me look so much more smarter and with it than I really am, just by throwing things in my path that I wouldn't have seen if not for him. Number five, make it pithy. I am more of an editor than a writer. In journalism, they say edit until it hurts and then edit some more, and that's what I do. I keep honing my posts until I get every extra word out of the way. And I also break up the posts with pictures and graphics so to keep people interested. Number six, if you blog often, if you want more traffic, you have to blog often. If you build it, they will come. The simple fact is that the more a person or a group blogs, the more readers they get. But that said, it's better to write one solid, good post than to write several inane posts. So numbers aren't necessarily everything. And as I said before, I cross-post using social media. I post links to my stories on Twitter and Facebook. Number eight, get your stories straight. You check and recheck your sources, because all you have in blogging is your reputation. And you could lose that and lose your credibility if you get something wrong. But that said, if you get something wrong, and I have before, sure, we're all human, be quick to apologize and be quick to retract and try to set the record straight. And people will accept that. They forgive humbleness. And number nine, I know you know this well, too, in your world, David, and that is get a thick skin.
Yep.
Get over yourself. Ultimately, this isn't about us. This is about saving innocent human lives. And you can't blog if you're not willing to take shots. And the shots don't always come from the other side, although they do come hot and heavy from the other side. Sometimes they come from your own side. And number 10, I would develop a mission statement and keep your eye on it when you're blogging. And mine is that I will advance the pro-life issue through, number one, pro-life apologetics. Number two, news dissemination related to the pro-life issue. And number three, respectful debate.
Mm. Well, Jill, I'm going to add a number 11 to your list, if that's okay. And that is go to jillstanek.com and learn from a master. I love your blog. I am there regularly almost every day. And I am amazed at the amount of discussion and debate and dialogue that happens there. And it's certainly not just a bunch of pro-life people saying, oh, kudos to you, Jill. You really do engage in very healthy debate. And I think you've done a fantastic job of this. We've got about 1 minute left here, and then after this question, I'll give you a chance to point people to any resource and to learn more about you. But Jill, if somebody right now, they're saying, I want to influence the culture, but Hollywood's not my thing, reaching out to specific populations, the African-American population, that may not be where God's calling me, and I don't have a clue about blogging, that's not my world. But if you had a chance to just offer a minute of encouragement to that person to say, whatever skills, whatever interests, passions God has given you, you can use them to positively influence the culture. What would you say to that person?
I would say exactly that, David, that people can jump into the pro-life movement wherever they are at life, whatever skills they have, whatever time and resources they have. You can blog from home, as we've discussed. You can write letters to the editor. You've got kids at home. You don't necessarily have to leave your house. There's things you can do that I just explained. You can help with your local crisis pregnancy center. You can join your local pro-life organization. You can call your elected officials from home. You can, as far as opposing or supporting legislation, you can go to your nearest abortion clinic and pray and protest. The list of things to do is endless, and people just have to look at what they're interested in, what passions God has given them, and what their skills are, and run with it. And everybody is needed. Everybody that is listening to this show, whether they think so or not, are just so important to the movement.
And the beautiful thing about what we've accomplished here today as a movement is we have given people an entire roadmap of all of the different opportunities that exist, whether it's educating yourself, educating others, understanding the crisis we're dealing with, learning about groups like Planned Parenthood, starting and ending everything we do with prayer, getting involved in the pregnancy centers, saving lives outside abortion centers, offering hope and healing to those who've been through the pain of an abortion, legislative work, political work, youth advocacy, and just finding ways to influence the culture. And so for those who have heard Jill's just wonderful call to action to get involved where you are and influence the culture, I hope this webcast and the recordings of this entire event can be a great resource for you and for others as they're discerning that. Jill, as a closing thought, where can people learn more about you and your work? And are there any resources that you would point them towards for those who want to learn more about influencing the culture?
Well, very simply, if they want to learn more about me and the blogging, they can go to www.jillstanek.com. And I would also recommend, if people are interested in blogging, to pick up the book Blog by Hugh Hewitt. It's a quick read, and it'll give you a foundation of what kind of it's all about.
Okay. Jill, I appreciate you more than you know. Thank you for being on the front lines, and thank you for all you're doing to positively influence so many people and using the platform that God has given you. And I just appreciate you so much for being on this webcast today, and wish you continued blessings in your work. I look forward to seeing you on the highways and byways across our country again soon.
Yes, ditto, David. Thank you for organizing. Wonderful day.
Hey, you bet. Well, that brings us to the end of the panel on influencing the culture. In just a minute, I'm going to let Kristen Hawkins summarize what we've done today. And also, Kristen, I'm going to ask you in just a minute to share any closing thoughts at the end of 10 hours of back-to-back sessions on ending abortion. It has been an amazing day. I am far more energetic and encouraged now than I was at the very beginning. And I'm sure those of you who've been with us through all the recordings or through all the live sessions or even some of them, I hope you feel the exact same way. This entire event has been organized by 40 Days for Life, and our website, if you'd like to learn more, that's the organization I'm blessed to be a part of. Our website is www.40daysforlife.com, and that's the number 40daysforlife.com. And it's been co-organized by Students for Life of America, our good friend Kristen Hawkins, and their website is studentsforlife.org. I want to thank the speakers on this panel, Jason Jones, Alveda King, Jill Stanek, as well as all the presenters and all the other panels. Kristen, any thoughts you have now on just the what we've learned during this session, and any closing thoughts you have at the end of 10 hours of working together to end abortion?
Wow, I have, 2 minutes to summarize 10 hours.
That's right.
Terrific. This panel discussion was exactly what we need to hear, exactly what we need to do at the end of this fantastic mega event. You know, Jason talked about impacting Hollywood and looking at the current videos, movies that are coming out of Hollywood, and they don't have, you know, sometimes in a pro-life movement, we think Hollywood's always against us. Maybe they're not always against us, and maybe we can use the tools they're giving us to impact our culture. And Jason talked about how just one person can make a difference, and his personal story and how he became pro-life, I think, is so meaningful. And all the work that he is doing with Eduardo, reaching out to Latinos across the world. Alveda talked about making inroads into different communities and minority communities. She reminded us that this is a human cause. This is a human cause, no matter what race. This is a cause for every race, and that we are all entitled to the right to life. Jill, you wrapped this up perfectly, talking about blogging and using new media and using technology. What I'm doing with the youth, technology is right there, and that's where we're going. And David, you actually made some really wonderful comments in the middle of this, talking about using the platform you have, using the skills you have, the talents you have to change the culture. Look around you and see what opportunities God has given you. I think today has been a wonderful day. We've shown a lot of unity in the pro-life movement. We've shown everyone what exactly they need to do, where to get the resources. And if I were Planned Parenthood, if I were a pro-abortion leader, I'd be very scared.
Amen to that. Well, Kristen, thank you for those closing comments. And I think we do have Planned Parenthood people right now on the line on this webcast. And I think they're shaking in their boots. And I absolutely love it. And I would just say to them, hey, we've had Abby Johnson and so many others who have come over to our side. We'd love to welcome you. And maybe a year from now, you'll be speaking on a pro-life webcast about ending abortion when God grips your
exactly.
heart and shares the truth with you. So with that, let me wrap up this session. I want to thank everybody and just end with three things. Three things you can do. If you've made it this far, if you've made it to the final hour of the Ending Abortion webcast mega event, the first thing I want to encourage you to do, as soon as you get off the line, as soon as you get done listening to this recording, get down on your knees and pray. Thank God for the opportunity we have to live in a free country where we have the chance to do this work, where we can speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and then ask Him to guide you and show you what it is He wants you to do. If you're already doing a lot, maybe He's going to guide you in some new directions. Maybe He's going to give you something else to do or something on top of what you're doing. If you're brand new, maybe He's going to reveal to you the area He wants you to be involved in. But pray and ask God to show you what it is He wants you to do to influence the culture and to bring an end to abortion and save lives where you live. And as He reveals that to you, number two, act. Do something. If all this event was about just this event and nothing changes in your life today, tomorrow, next week, and next month, this entire event has failed. But if you have been changed in any way, shape, or fashion, then I encourage you to do something with what you have learned. Do something today, do something tomorrow that can positively influence and build a culture of life that can help to save lives right where you live with the platform that you've been given, and you can help bring an end to abortion and work until that day when no more women cry and no more children die. And the third thing is spread the word and invite more people to be a part of this movement. A great way you can do that is to let everybody else you know learn about this event and all the recordings. Every session, what you were just a part of, as well as all of the previous sessions, are available as recordings at endingabortion.com. And so please, not only yourself, go back and listen to the recordings and re-listen to the recordings and be encouraged and be inspired and take notes and do new things, but also, if you have been blessed, every speaker came on this event. They were unpaid for participating in this event. All the technology was funded by donors. All of the everything, it's totally taken care of. This entire event has been gifted to you so that you can make a difference right where you live. If you have been blessed, if you've been encouraged, if this has in any way helped you to know you can make a difference, share it with everybody you know. Invite them to go to endingabortion.com where they can access the recordings of every single one of these sessions, and who knows what future projects will come about to delve deeper into some of these topics. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kristen Hawkins. Thank you, Sean Carney, who have been such wonderful co-hosts throughout the day. Thank you, the 40 Days for Life team that has been behind the scenes making a lot of things work. They're very thankless jobs, Chantel and David Brando and our board of directors. And thank you also to all of the presenters and all of the organizations. And I would like to close this entire event with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing throughout this day. And dear God, we look forward with great expectation to what you have yet to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Help each of us to take this information that we have been blessed with and help us to share it with everybody we can. Help us to be transformed, that this event not be just about putting information into our heads, but putting it into our hearts so they can then move to our hands and to our feet and it could become action. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you are accomplishing as lives are being saved around our country and around our world right now. And we ask you to please help each of us to be emboldened and to be steadfast in taking these efforts to a whole new level so we can work until that day when no more children die and no more women cry. We thank you for all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Let's keep pressing on. Look forward to meeting with many of you as we travel across the country. Look forward to future events as we gather together. Let's rededicate ourselves and let's commit right now to ending abortion.